Hello and welcome to 35 Minute Movies Presents The Emma Stoners. This is the podcast where we're going through Emma Stone's entire filmography and ranking and reviewing as we go along. I'm Cameron. And as always, I'm joined by Emma Stone's number one fan, Awais. How are you doing this fine evening?
Hey man, I'm doing good. How are you?
Oh my god, are we joined? I'm sorry, we've been joined by a guest this week, Ryan Gosling in the movie Gangster Squad. Hi Ryan, how's it going?
Yeah man, it's going good. Excited to talk about Gangster Squad.
Oh my god, it's a pleasure. It's your first interview. I'm really happy to have you on the show. Really happy to have you come and talk about Gangster Squad.
I can't wait to talk about Ryan Gosling and Gangster Squad.
It is a very special performance, I have to say. One that I was not prepared for, I feel, at all. Never think I'll ever be prepared for. It is a very special performance. Yeah. Interesting set of movies this week, though. It's all action all the time this week. We're going to be all the kind of special effects are out in force.
All the
fighting. Let's just jump straight into this because I'm really excited for this one. So first up, we are talking about The Amazing Spider-Man, which came out in 2012. This is directed by Mark Webb and stars the likes of Andrew Garfield and, of course, Emma Stone. You know, it's the kickoff of what is the large spanning, definitely not cut short at all, Sony Spider-Man verse that just really took off, really launched and connected with the people. You know, this really did connect with everybody. There was no, that because Andrew Garfield obviously is still Spider-Man to this day and never, sorry, what was that? Sorry. Oh, I'm sorry, it got cancelled. Happened in the second movie. So, but this one, the origin story again. Awais, could you tell me the story of Peter Parker? Like, if we need reminding.
Yeah, I mean, Peter Parker is a high school kid. He's bitten by a genetically altered spider, and he gains newfound spider-like abilities. Except in this one, there's a wee bit of backstory about his parents. They abandon him. For reasons that are unknown, revealed in the second one. And the bad guy in this one is a little bit different. It's a mysterious reptilian foe, the Lizard. Basically, because of genetics and science and
yep, science,
all that fun stuff. And this is it was marketed as the untold story of Spider-Man.
Oh, right.
It was marketed as a very gritty version of Spider-Man. I personally enjoy it. I don't know if this is a controversial opinion. What are your thoughts on it? I quite like it.
I really like the Amazing Spider-Man movies. I like both of them. I am a massive The Amazing Spider-Man defender. If you don't like The Amazing Spider-Man, I recommend you just skip to Gangster Squad because I'm pretty sure we're just going to be defending this movie for the next 10-15 minutes. So if you don't want to hear any of that, just skip to Gangster Squad. The time codes are in the description. But I really enjoy this. I think it's really blatantly, obviously, trying to appeal to like the teenage audience. Is really trying so hard to just hammer in on like whatever the teenage, I think it was millennials at that point, so they're all millennials or whatever, we're trying to hammer in and make sure like Peter is like a fashionable, really cool, really like I'm on my phone, I'm doing skateboard and listen to
but Coldplay. I think that's what it all was the kids at that time, to Coldplay. You know?
That's yeah, what it was exactly. At that time. But it's funny because if you read the Sony emails that got leaked around the time the interview came out, it's very, they're very blatantly trying to be like, what if we gave Spider-Man a Snapchat and he could connect to the viewers? Like, what if we made him like,
great.
What if he did a selfie? What if like we did the Spider-Man challenge? Like, what if that was a thing? And it's just very much like a, come on, man. And like watching it now, you're sort of going, oh, for God's sake. Like this, what are you doing? Like, this is like ridiculous. But at the time, and even now, it's still enjoyable. It's an enjoyable movie. It's not,
I think so,
a masterpiece. It's not as good as the original, it's not as good as the first Tobey Maguire origin story, I don't think, but I think Andrew is an amazing Peter Parker, as amazing Spider-Man, maybe not so much a Peter Parker because I think that's kind of Sony's fault, but amazing Spider-Man.
Interesting.
I think Gwen Stacy is the love of my life. I
yep.
had I was very I was a very big fan of Gwen Stacy as a teenager. It's a good action movie. You know, it's a fun blockbuster Spider-Man movie, and you can't go wrong with that.
I agree. Interesting you say that. You think he's a good Spider-Man. Because for me, the best parts of this, I don't know what, I mean, I agree with that. But for weirdly, and people don't like his Peter Parker, weirdly for me, the parts of this movie that I enjoyed the most were the scenes where he's out of the suit.
Okay. I can get behind that. I just sometimes I find him slightly annoying because he's like, okay, man, okay, okay.
Yeah, no, I mean, I fully get that.
Okay, I get it.
For me, I enjoy the Spider-Man stuff the least in this movie.
All right.
I think it's in many ways a more accurate Spider-Man than Raimi was, because he's cracking the quips while he's doing the web stuff. And that's Spider-Man. The TV show, the comics, that was Spider-Man.
I will say he comes into his own. I think I'm looking at them more as one whole, both of them as like one whole piece.
Yeah.
Because I think he comes into his own as the Spider-Man in The Amazing Spider-Man 2. We can talk about that in 2 weeks' time. But it's very much, I think it takes a really long time to get to the Spider-Man stuff in this. Like, it feels like it takes forever to get to Spider-Man. And that's fair enough because they're rebooting it. But again, origin story, we know all this. Like, come on, you could speed through this. I do love that, and I love all the suit stuff, and I love particularly the relationship with Gwen Stacy. I think we could talk about this for ages.
That's, I was about to say, the reason I like the out of the suit stuff the most isn't because of Peter Parker. It is 1000% because of Gwen Stacy and the chemistry between Emma Stone and Andrew Garfield. We touched upon this in our last episode where we were talking about Crazy Stupid Love and the chemistry between Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone. If there's one dynamic that can rival that, it's Emma Stone and Andrew Garfield. Obviously, they started dating during this. Funnily enough, I thought they started dating before because their chemistry is that good.
Yeah.
She's the most fleshed out of all the sort of Marvel, or sort of all the Spider-Man love interests, and I use air quotes there because I don't, you know, she's way more than just a love interest in both The Amazing Spider-Man and The Amazing Spider-Man 2. But I prefer her to Kirsten Dunst's Mary Jane. I prefer her to Zendaya's MJ. I just think she's fantastic. You know, and they're so good. They're so good together.
She's given stuff to do, which is the best part about it. I mean, that's probably what you're getting at. What Zendaya and Kirsten Dunst don't get to do. They don't get to do anything. They're not.
Yeah.
They're damsels in distress. But Gwen Stacy is very headstrong. She's actually got things to do. She is very much the sort of brain for Peter's sort of brashness. You know what I mean? They complement each other, which I think is a really good dynamic, and one that I think was missing from. The last one, and the one that I think is still in a way missing from Tom's. I think we might be able to see that.
But just a sort of
level head against Peter Parker's sort of like headstrongness. You know, even though they are a headstrong character in themselves, Gwen Stacy's very much like, you're gonna let me do this now, or I agree. Yeah,
and it feels like a high school romance.
Yeah,
it feels like a high school romance.
I'd see that scene
where he asks her out. Or, like, okay, doesn't ask her out. That, to me, encapsulates what I love about The Amazing Spider-Man. And it's that awkwardness. It's that, because they're going for that teen dynamic, that is the teen dynamic in a nutshell, I feel. Yeah. Like, we are all awkward teens. You know, say what you want about the fact that this Peter Parker is hot and cool and he skateboards, and that's not Peter Parker. Fair enough, whatever. But, like, they do get the awkwardness. They nail it. And they nail Gwen's awkwardness. You get hot and cool awkward
people. Look at me, of course.
Exactly. And I've had this argument with so many people. People are like, oh, he's not a good Peter Parker because there's no way Andrew Garfield would be a loser. And I'm like, okay, I get where you're coming from. But I feel like this film does make a good case for why he's a loner, because he's arrogant as fuck. You know, he's,
yeah,
like that scene where he's, where he sort of embarrasses Flash. Yeah. That's I get that, you know?
Yeah.
I feel that.
He's arrogant and he's awkward. I think if he gets adrenaline in him, he can really quite like go for it and be quite, but he usually keeps himself to himself. You can see where he's not making friends very often.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I love him. I do love the Peter Parker, and I do love the, I think he's a better Spider-Man in the Amazing Spider-Man 2. We can obviously talk about that when we get to Amazing Spider-Man 2. But yeah, I like the Gwen Peter stuff in this, and I'm not. Villain stuff though, obviously Curtis Connor plays Curtis Connor is the Lizard, played by Reese
Ifans.
That's an interesting design I feel they went for with this, where it's very it's very Koopa Troopa out of the Super Mario Bros. Movie for me. It's not a great design, but it's
the designs in this film in general are not, you know, the suit is not,
it's an iffy great suit.
I hate the Lizard. I don't at all think he's a compelling villain.
Nope.
Anytime they go back to the Curtis Connor plot on board, I'm like, oh come on, just get me back to Peter and Gwen, you know. What are you? He's apparently coming back for No Way Home. Maybe
I think they'll do a redesigned Lizard, and I don't think he'll change back out of Lizard form. I think he will be stuck as Lizard. I think that'll be if he is in it. I think that'll be
they are supposedly redesigning the characters. I think that could be good. Yeah. Reese Ifans is a good actor, but
if he's in it, that's what I'm saying. I don't know if they'll bring him back. I think they may just keep him as a Lizard, redesign him, and then just,
that makes sense.
Do you know what I mean? I don't know though. I don't think he's a great villain. I think he is sort of missing the mark. His plan is a bit dodgy.
Stupid.
It's stupid, and the whole making it rain liquid and stuff, and it just, you're just like, come on, man. That entire final sequence is just very funny, where all the crane operators move the cranes so that you can bloody swing his webs faster and stuff like that. You're like, come on, dude. Like, dude, what are you doing? Like,
love the music. I remember seeing it in IMAX, and I was like, whoa, like 13, 14. And it was so cool. I was like, yes, yes, so come cool, on, it's a Spider-Man. And now I'm just like, oh God, what? All the crane operators conveniently lining up their cranes, and Lizard conveniently not killing Emma Stone when he sees her with the antigen to the, you know, antidote.
Yeah,
just doesn't. I'm like, you're bringing anything. Your demise upon yourself, really.
It's all very convenient at that point. But it's not great in that sense. I think more of the Spider-Man being Spider-Man stuff's really cool. And I think we get a little bit more of that in Spider-Man 2 and things like that. And it's I think they work better together, and I'm interested. I can't wait to watch the next one again. Yeah. That'll be interesting.
I do like the cop dynamic in this. They really lean into that. Because you'd have to assume there would be a sort of, you know, a backlash against a vigilante. Yeah. And in Raimi's Spider-Man, that was the Daily Bugle. And in this one, it's the police. And I like that. And I like then that Captain Stacy has a big involvement in this. And that obviously then makes things complicated with Gwen and stuff. And I really like that scene where he is unmasked and has that whole dialogue with Captain Stacy. And obviously how that then comes back in The Amazing Spider-Man 2 as well, as you said.
Yeah. I only wish it could have gone on a bit longer. I kind of wish to see what was going on, but hey, we'll never know, really.
Scores on the doors.
Scores. What are you thinking? Scores on the doors. What are you thinking?
What are you, What are you thinking? I asked you first.
You know, I upped it to a 4 on my Letterboxd review. I know. And because I came over enjoying it, but after talking to you, I'm like, maybe it should go back down to a 3. Like,
a 3 is not bad, though.
No, okay, it's not bad.
I would give it a 3. I would give it a 3. But I think it's good. I really, really enjoy it. But I am also acknowledging that it is a bit of a mess.
Yeah.
Tonally, especially, we've not really touched upon that. I think tonally, it's all over the place.
For sure.
And then you've got the various bad guy dynamics, because Irfan Khan is in this as sort of Kurt Connor's superior, and they're like, there's all these elements that this film introduces that it never does anything with, and I think it does make the film a little bit overstuffed and messy.
But talk about overstuffed, you think about overstuffed, you're thinking about bloody Amazing Spider-Man 2. That's the interesting thing about this, is that,
well, there we go,
it's still setting stuff up, but it's still, there's more setup to come, and there's payoff, which is even worse. Like, it's just, yeah,
we have to talk about it. How are you feeling about Andrew Garfield and No Way Home?
I don't know, because then there was obviously the leaked footage, and then it was saying, it was people, someone was claiming it was deepfaked, and then people are claiming that the deepfake video was fake as well.
Yeah,
and
it's all just
like,
do you think he's in it?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts? I think so.
I would be amazed if he's not, after everything we've heard. I would be amazed if he's not in it, because obviously they bring back Jamie Foxx's Electro and stuff like that, and Lizard. I mean, why wouldn't he? You know, it doesn't make sense for him not to be in it.
It seems at this point he's having fun with answering the questions. If you watch the Fallon clip, he's laughing. Also, interesting, I read a rumor the other day. Apparently, the reason he's so on edge about it, Andrew Garfield, is because the thought is maybe he's in a multiple picture contract, whereas Toby's a one-off. And then that got speculation going, because Venom 2 buzz is coming out, and apparently the thing
Don't spoil the post-credit scene.
Oh no, please, I don't know. I don't know what it, I don't know what's in the post-credit scene. But I was gonna say the buzz seems to be a post-credit scene.
Yes,
and I think that sort of hyperbolic buzz for a post-credit scene can only really, to me, it can only mean one thing.
Uh-huh.
And that's Spider-Man.
The king of hyperbolic himself is going to tell us about.
but you know what I mean? Like, the fact that everyone's like hyping up the post-credit scene that much makes me think. No one, you know, like, people are like, oh, is it Kraven the Hunter? And I'm like, yeah, cool, but is Kraven the Hunter really going to be getting that level of like...
It is a Spider-Man reveal of some
It's a Spider-Man reveal.
Do you know what I mean? It has to be.
And then it got me thinking, right? Everyone talks about Tom, right? Tom Holland and Tom Hardy. What if it's Andrew Garfield?
They could continue the Amazing Spider-Man easily. If there's no Venom Eddie Brock setup at all. It's a fair game. They're similar ages. They could easily be.
Well, that's the thing. Those characters, Tom Hardy and Andrew Garfield, makes more logical sense in the world and in the context than Tom Hardy and Tom Holland. And if Andrew is realistically in a multiple picture contract, the multiverse could very well bring him back. And because he is a Sony character. Venom's a Sony character.
Exactly.
What if? That's all I'm saying. What if? I would love that.
That is a good theory. And I will I would be surprised. I'm now surprised if it's not. Because you've been right before in the theories. You've seen the theories in this podcast. Obviously, we had the Vin Diesel stuff.
Yes.
I mean, Fast Nine. You did very well with the Fast Nine predictions. That was amazing call on your part. So
maybe I'm the new Daniel Richtman.
That's what it is. We should get you going for that. I mean, you've got the controversial buzz now. You've got the reactions down to a T, you know. Just get some theories and
scoops,
obviously some leaks going, and that's it. Get it going. You've got it sorted.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on to our next film, we're talking about Ruben Fleischer's Gangster Squad, which came out in 2013. It stars the likes of Josh Brolin, Sean Penn, Ryan Gosling. Oh my God, there's other folk in this. Michael Pena is in it.
Emma Stone, of course.
Of course, Emma Stone is in this movie. How could I forget? But the plot, that's an interesting one. What did you think about what is the plot to this movie?
Yeah, so it's the film set in 1949 Los Angeles. Basically, the city is run by like gangsters and a mobster called Mickey Cohen, who's played by Sean Penn. And, you know, he's naturally, you know, it's corrupt cops and sort of everyone's on this guy's payroll. And determined to end the sort of corruption, John O'Mara, who's sort of this, you know, this good-hearted, you know, cop played by Josh Brolin, he assembles a team of other sort of cops and not just cops, you know, there's like army sergeants and stuff in there. He assembles a team of you know, people that basically want to take down Mickey Cohen, and they sort of go after him and try to restore peace in the city. It's based on a true story, inspired by a true story. It's based on a series of LA Times articles that were then turned into a book. And the book was supposed to release the same time as the film, but the film was then ended up being delayed. What did you think of this, Cameron?
I enjoyed it a lot. I liked this. I'm a sucker for gangster movies and I'm a sucker for big action. And this is a combination of modern action movie and gangster movie. It's very much a modern movie in a gangster movie getup. And if you're on board with that, you're on board with the movie. You know what I mean? You're going to have a good time. I don't think it's not too tough to follow. It's not too over the top. It kind of falls into the same camp as Amazing Spider-Man, I feel, where it is sort of it's one where you're like, I'm enjoying this for what it is. And that's where I kind of lie with it. I really enjoyed it for what it was. Just a big old action movie with really pretty lights and pretty cars, because oh my God, do I love a 50s aesthetic. I love stuff like LA Noir. You know what I mean? I love all that. And I think this was just it for me. I really loved it. Like, I loved it like that. I didn't love it like a movie. I didn't love the overall movie. I just loved that. That makes me like it a lot more than I did. So it's a good film for me.
This is the first time we're maybe having a big disagreement.
Oh God.
I was not a fan.
Okay.
Kind of for the same reasons you were a fan. I'm a big fan of gangster movies as well. I'm a Live by Night defender. People really hate that movie. I'm a Live by Night defender. I do enjoy a wee gangster movie. To me, this felt like a gangster movie trying a bit too hard. And I was sort of mocking it earlier, but the perfect example of that is Ryan Gosling's accent in this movie.
I'm first to admit that. That is the...
Like, it's... You know, Ruben Fleischer was clearly like, try as hard as you can to sound like a good cop in the 50s, and he's got this weird squeaky accent. Of course he pulls it off because it's Ryan Gosling.
Does he pull it off?
Okay,
though?
When I say pull it off, he makes you used to it.
Yeah, you know, it's not as jarring.
You sort of forget. It's very jarring at the beginning. Yeah. There's the first scene with him and Emma Stone. And he's talking about he says that he's a Bible salesman and stuff, and she's like, "Oh, are you trying to?" It's like supposed to be a super sexy scene between the two of them, and she's like, "Oh, are you like trying to turn me to the way of God?" And he's like, "No, I just want to take you to bed." In his accent, it was so comical. Yeah, I was like, it was supposed to be this sexy, you know, 1950s, like flirting, you know, because they're not supposed, you know, she's an accessory for like Mickey Cohen, and it's like forbidden and stuff, and it was supposed to be, you know, sexy and glamorous, and his accent just really took me out of it.
It ruins it. They usually have amazing chemistry, and I think for a lot of the once you get past the accent, I think for a lot of the rest of them, they do have a good chemistry.
I was going to say they do, yeah. Mm-hmm.
it does ruin it. Like, it does take it out of it a lot.
Yeah. It just felt a bit generic to me. I don't know.
I get that. I just had I just had fun with it. I think that was it for me. I think I just
I had
a
bit of fun
with it. It's by no means a masterpiece. I'm not gonna go around telling people it's my favorite movie. It's more of a
wait till we get to the rankings at the end.
Oh yeah, it's number one. Yeah,
Gangster Squad. It's
Gangster Squad number one. No one talks about it enough. The thing is also there isn't a lot to say on it either, which is going to be the interesting thing here because we have another 10 minutes left of the show apparently. But there isn't an awful lot to say other than I really enjoyed it. I think, I do like some of the action sequences. I think they didn't overdo it on the slow-mo sometimes. I think they have a bit of a partialness to slow-mo. I didn't realise Ruben Fleischer had only done a couple movies.
I didn't realise this was Ruben Fleischer.
I didn't realise it was. This was one of the ones I've wanted to watch since I was wee. Emma Stone seems to always be in these movies where I've always wanted to watch them and never managed to get to them. And this has been
It is her.
It could be. Maybe I'm just like, Emma Stone's in this, I want to watch it. No, it's one where I've been like, I really want to watch Gangster Squad. This looks really cool. I remember seeing, strangely enough, I was at the Gadget Show live in Birmingham years ago.
Nice.
And they had a sound, like a demo for like a surround sound system. And I remember this was the movie they used. And I was like, this is amazing. I want to watch this movie when I get home. This looks really bloody cool. And that was my introduction to Gangster Squad. But yeah, it's just been one I've wanted to watch all the time. It's been on streaming services. I've just never got around to watching it. So it was a good excuse to get to it. Yeah. And that's maybe why I really want to love it. But
I wonder if I had seen it earlier in my life, I would have enjoyed it. If I saw this as a teenager, like would I probably it would probably have been my like favorite film of all time, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
For me, it's a little bit generic. I will say it has some cool action sequences. Mm-hmm. But I always enjoy Ruben Fleischer's action sequences. We were talking about Venom 2 a second ago, which obviously is directed by Andy Serkis, but he did the first one.
I watched Venom the other day, actually, and I will say the action sequences are pretty well done. It's just a shame that Sony had so many hands in that movie that they just couldn't agree on a vision, because you can see that there's two opposing things running side by side.
Like, 100%.
I mean, this is completely off topic, but it was the scene in the restaurant with the lobster is clearly being played for laughs.
It's
trying to be played for laughs, but the music is telling you a completely different story where it's like, this is serious, guys. Come on. He's like, what's something horrible is going on? You know what I mean? It's like so tonally inconsistent.
Yeah.
But his action sequence, the motorbike sequence through the for San Francisco is really cool in that.
But it's like,
some of the car sequences and some of the shootouts in this are really cool.
Really good,
really good.
And in this as well, I agree. I mean, I feel like you don't really hire Ruben Fleischer. You know, I mean, if you look at his career, you know, he did Zombieland, of course, as well with Emma Stone. Yeah. And now this. And yeah, I feel like, you know, he plays his films very tongue in cheek. And I did like that about this, because I do feel like it is self-aware at times. And I really liked it. And when it played into that, when it sort of really played into the sort of tropes and stuff with a sort of wink to the audience, I liked that. And I think if it would commit to that more, it could have been really fun for me. I just feel like it was a film that, at least in my own opinion, it didn't always know what it wanted to be. It didn't always know its tone, I think. And you had these very jarring elements that just didn't always come together.
I can get behind that, yeah. Yeah. I think for me, like I said, it's the aesthetic. I really think it nailed the 1950s look. I think it really did. I think the color grading is like impeccable. I like some of the cinematography stuff, like some of the actual production design, technical choices and stuff like that, like actual creative choices in the background are really good and really, really quite cool. But yeah, generic. And that's all you can really say. Overall rating for you though, I could guess a 2, but I'm curious to see where you're going to go.
Yeah, I was going to, I mean 2. You know, I think there's elements of it that are really good. Great cast. We've not really touched too much on Emma Stone, but she doesn't get loads to do. She doesn't get loads to do. I very much feel like it was a role that she probably got because of, you know, she worked with Ruben on Zombieland. And Ryan Gosling was in it. Funnily enough, he only agreed. He said he would be in this if he got the money to make his directorial debut, Lost River, which he did. And then the other sort of two reasons he wanted to make this movie were because he wanted to work with Sean Penn and he wanted to shoot a Tommy gun. He did not get any scenes with Sean Penn, which is so tragic.
At least they got to meet each other at the premiere, I'd imagine. That'd be great.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And again, you know, I like... they don't get loads together, but I do like their chemistry when they are on screen together. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, as we said in sort of Crazy Stupid Love, I could take every single movie with Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone in it. They just work so well together. And yeah, she doesn't get loads to do, but again, she's great as always. Like, you know, yeah. She can have the smallest, you know, we've talked about small roles that she's had in the past, that she's just, you know, she's always the highlight of every film she's in. And I think this is another example of that. Exactly. She really fits the 1950s.
She does.
Los Angeles noir aesthetic, yep. Though. I like love the look she's going for in it.
Yeah. The look is amazing. For me, I think this is about a 3. I would say that, you know, for all the reasons I've already mentioned, I'm a sucker for the aesthetic. I'm a sucker for gangster movies, and I like how it blends the action, modern action, together in with it. And I think it does a good job. Agree to disagree. You know, it's one of those, those ones. But hey,
I mean, there's someone on Common Sense Media that thinks this is the greatest gangster film I've ever made. So, you know, if at least I'm in good company. There's a big fan out there. He says
the Irishman, my favorite gangster movie. No.
Saint Row meets James Bond is the title for this, and he goes, "This is my favorite gangster movie of all time. It's an all around great time. Acting is great, brackets especially from Josh Brolin. The story is super cool. There's some humor here and there, and I found myself laughing tons. And so many badass action and suspense.
So
I agree."
Many. So many.
Fans of mob flicks will love this. It's better than Goodfellas.
I mean,
better than The Godfather.
Can you argue? It does go Martin Scorsese, Ruben Fletcher. I mean, the filmography does not compare. I mean, it doesn't compare really at all.
The only complaint I have is that I wish they deleted the theater shootout from the special features. But that's a throwaway complaint, since the Chinatown shootout is actually better. I believe they cut that though because there was.
It would have been around, yeah.
There was an actual shooting at the time.
It would have been around the time The Dark Knight Rises, wouldn't it? I think it must have been The Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah, I think there was like a theater shooting, and that's why it was cut. So hey, at least he enjoyed it.
I'm glad for that man right there. I'm glad he enjoyed that.
Yeah. Funnily enough, though, we were talking about this. We mentioned it briefly earlier. In the film, obviously, the gangster squad are assembled to go after Mickey Cohen. In real life, the squad was set up to prevent other gangsters from taking over from Cohen because he was in prison for tax evasion. And I find that just so interesting. Basically, the gangster squad would kidnap any other out-of-town gangsters and beat them up and torture them and send them back to wherever they came from.
Wow.
I don't know why they didn't do that. I think that's a really cool concept for a story.
Yeah.
That morality of like, cops and stuff doing that. I feel like that would have taken away from the generic aspect of it.
I guess.
Because we've not seen a story like that before. Do you know what it reminded me of? Knock Around Guys.
Yes.
In a way, yes.
I can see what you mean with that. If you want to watch a review of Knock Around Guys, you can find it on the channel. Thank you very much. But yeah, I mean, any closing thoughts? I mean, that's just kind of at the end of the episode. Any closing thoughts you'd like to bring up on Emma Stone?
Not really, just that.
No.
She's a gem, and she's a gem. Is amazing in everything she's in. Can't wait to next week. We're talking about The Croods, and The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Yeah. So it'll be an interesting double bill, I guess, coming up. But yeah, if you want to find that, make sure if you're listening on a podcast service, you hit follow, and maybe if you can do it, leave a review. If you're watching on YouTube, please remember to subscribe and hit like. That would mean the world to us. I'm Cameron. You can find me on Twitter at CamsOG and OhiFilms.com or OhiFilms on YouTube, where I do daily, every weekday, there's a review that goes out, like a eight, 9 minute review of a new release that's come out. I do with Jordy Steele.
And you'll be covering LFF as well.
A lot of LFF stuff coming up. And you're a big Venice boy over there at Oase. Where can the people find you?
You could find me on Twitter at Oase, or on www.thefilmbite.com for all my written up reviews.
And your embargo breaking reactions at the same time.
Exactly.
We're never going to let you live that down.
Even though at this point it's like a month in the past.
Yeah, this is way, way after that now. So yeah, thank you so much for watching, and we will see you next week for The Croods and The Amazing Spider-Man 2. Thank you.